Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And we're continuing our journey through Mark's Gospel. Remember that Mark, though the shortest Gospel, just 16 chapters, he covers a lot of ground. And in chapter 6, he covers a lot of ground. We won't cover all of chapter 6 today. But what we will cover is, first of all, this little section that talks about Jesus being a prophet without honour in his hometown. This is something which is very, very powerful. He's in Nazareth, he's in the place where he grew up, and people are questioning who he is, what he's doing, and even the family, it seems, they look around and they just don't understand really who Jesus is. And Jesus says, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honour. And we read this very powerful statement in verse 5. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Well, I think a number of us would say just a few sick people healed would actually be wonderful. We wouldn't despise that whatsoever. But for Jesus, he would move in an environment of faith. And where people had no faith, then it's not that he couldn't move, he simply chose not to move. And that's a very important distinction. But yes, they look at him, and of course remember these people had seen him grow up. And for a number of years, Jesus had not done anything that would have been seen to be extraordinary. But now, in the public arena, he started to teach and the miracles are starting to happen. And instead of receiving Jesus, they take the opportunity to almost mock him and despise him. But what Jesus is about is calling disciples. And we read that he calls the 12 to him. And he's going to send them out two by two. And he gives them authority over evil spirits. He also gives them some very clear instructions that they're to go out on a mission. And it's not to be materialistic. They don't have to take loads of possessions. They don't have to pack a massive suitcase. They're able just to go with the bare minimum and simply speak peace. And if they're welcomed, they will be a blessing. And if people reject them, they're just to move on. They're not to argue, they're not to hang around. Well, they go out with Jesus' instructions, and it's an incredible response. Many demons are driven out, many sick people are anointed with oil, I notice. Mark makes this point, which isn't made in any of the other Gospels, that they seem to anoint with oil, a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and sick people anointed with oil find a dramatic healing. Well, of course, something else is going on in the background, and it's the whole matter of Herod and John the Baptist. Herod and John the Baptist are hardly the best of friends. And it's simply because John the Baptist is not afraid to point out that Herod is in a place of sin. Herod has married his brother's wife, and as far as we know, the brother's still alive. And it's an adulterous situation. And John is very, very clear that you're in a bad place, Herod. You shouldn't have done this. And Herodias, she nurses a grudge against John, and she is just looking at any opportunity to kill him. And the story unfolds with the request of the daughter after a exotic dance, and Herod says, I'll do whatever you want, and she says, I want the head of John the Baptist. And that's what happens. Jesus is going to be very sad to hear that John the Baptist has been executed. God is sovereign. He's still at work in the midst of this very tragic circumstance. We must pause now for worship. My good friend Patrick will join me. We'll look a little bit more into these events recorded in the opening verses of Mark chapter 6.
Listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've come now to talk to Richard further about these incidents that we see recorded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6. Interesting that Jesus found himself in a situation where his ministry, if you like, was not particularly effective because of the lack of faith of people around him.
Well, yes, it is an unusual statement, and it is indicative of the strength of the opposition, the resistance to the fact that the Jesus they had seen, to their mind, as just an ordinary man, behaving now in an extraordinary way, and they will not have it. They're absolutely determined that They can handle the Jesus who was in the carpenter shop, but this Jesus, they don't know what to do with him. No. So they're very, very strong in their opposition.
Interesting. So then the next section where Jesus sends out the 12 from village to village, and it's a kind of a, in a way it's a kind of a training program, isn't it? Because he's showing them that they too can do the kind of things that he did, but only with the authority that he gives them. How important is this, giving them authority to do this?
Yeah, that is absolutely vital. In themselves, they don't have authority over demons or sicknesses. But because Jesus has given them the authority, if they operate in his name, in true submission to his lordship, then they're going to see, as you've pointed out, the very works of Jesus themselves. But it is important that only genuine healing, genuine deliverance can happen with the given authority of Jesus. There can be things that appear to be a deliverance or appear to be a healing, but often they're not. People, after a day or two, become sick again or the demonic problem returns. It's only when Jesus has given the authority and that is humbly received that there can be lasting healing.
Mm. Well, obviously, one of the things that you do in your ministry, Richard, is travelling abroad yourself, but also sending other people to travel abroad as well. When people like yourself and others go abroad today, do they carry the same authority that the disciples were given by Jesus?
I believe we can receive that same authority, and I believe it's important that we do. Jesus said, "All authority is given to me, go." And again, it's just to do with being quite rigorous about checking, why am I going? And in other words, if it's just my idea, just what I want to do, you won't have the ministry of Jesus. But if we're truly humbly submitted to Jesus, then the same authority he gave those disciples is available for us as well.
Mm. And then the story that we move on to about the beheading of John the Baptist, a famous, well-known story, the head of John the Baptist on a plate and all of this, certainly highlights, doesn't it, the dangers of speaking out at this time. John said what he said, and as a result, he made enemies at the highest level.
Yes, that's right. It was his unflinching commitment to truth. He was not going to just sort of say things to the people and then before Herod have a different message. Whoever was in front of him, the message was the same: repent, turn away from sin. And Herod knew that and was not comfortable, and yet he knew the people loved John. Yeah. So he was a real dilemma. What do I do?
Mm-hmm. And obviously Herod doesn't come out of this very well at all, does he?
Well, not at all, no. He just gets carried away and with the daughter doing the dance and the kind of being overwhelmed by whatever. And the instruction, whatever you say, I'll do.
A foolish thing for a ruler to say.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, crazy.
And a sad outcome. Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.